Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Monday morning. That means it is time to check in with Dr. Bob Weiss at Concordia Seminary. Good morning, Dr. Weiss.
Good morning to you and the listeners, Andy.
Thank you. Happy Monday morning. Now, what do you have for us this morning? What topics can
we
address?
Well, actually, I want to focus on something that has been in the news over the last several weeks, and I think it's going to continue to get more attention as we get into more medical rationing. Now, medical rationing does occur. That simply means, are we going to treat this person depending? Now, I'm not a doctor, but this is what my brother, the doctor, says. That there is rationing. That is to sense, not to hasten death, but to treat and care for somebody that needs a treatment or some type of medical care, and it could be hospice and so forth. And so where rationing would say, well, we're not going to do this, but we're going to do that. It's not with the intent to hasten death. Or to say, well, they're not worth living, but with the intent of caring. And so we are to always care and never to kill. This, of course, is part of what we believe, teach, and confess in the Scriptures and the Confessions. And this was one of the great things that came out of when President Bush was president, the Commission on Bioethics, where they came out with this book, several books, actually, that people can get now for nothing on bioethics.gov. And Dr. Gilbert Mailander from Valpo, who's now retired, was on that commission. I testified a couple times in front of them, but mainly for embryonic research. But this whole issue of death list, this is what we want to kind of spend a few minutes on. It has been brought up by several physicians.
It sounds like a big blockbuster, you know, a big movie.
Yeah, it sounds like a movie. And basically what it is, it's a screening test with 29 indicators. And I'm not going to read all of them, but they talk about the health, including the age, the frailty, the illness, the mental impairment, and any previous emergency admissions, heart rate, and produces a percentage chance of death within 1 month. So when you look at all this stuff, they calculate on a percent basis, and it's rated, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10. Well, how's their health, 1 to 10? Well, it's 4. What do you mean 4? Who's deciding this?
What determines that 4?
Yeah. What determines the 4? Well, it's a very subjective. And so at the end, they have this sort of a percent chance to die within 1 month and 12, you know, or 12 weeks. So now so this is the death list, and this is what it's being called. Well, then a student that I've had in the past, Toby, sent me this article, A Daily Devotion from Lutheran Hour Ministries, from Pastor Ken Klaus, who's, of course, Speaker Emeritus now of the Lutheran Hour, and he gets into this whole issue of the death list, People can understand what this means. It simply means your life isn't worth living, and we're going to tell you when you're going to die. And if we tell you when you're going to die, then maybe you can make better preparations. So it's very self-serving, and it's very anti-biblical, because death respects no one. And so the Lord's very clear, and you too be ready.
It almost sounds, have you seen the film The Giver?
Oh, yes.
It almost sounds a little bit like that,
yes.
That story.
Yes, and especially with the euthanasia in that story.
Yeah, well, but they don't call it euthanasia.
No, they don't.
They are released to elsewhere.
Yes, yeah, released to elsewhere.
And this comes back to our conversations about using the same terms, using the same vocabulary. You know, if we want to, if we have an agenda, we just change the terms so they don't sound as harsh.
And this is what we've mentioned off radio with Maggie Carner, now Dr. Maggie Carner, who says we have to be on the same level in terms of what are we talking about.
Yeah, we have to work from the same lexicon. We have to use the same terms to have discussions when it comes to physician-assisted suicide and things like that.
Yeah, because health based on Roe v. Wade is defined differently than you talk to physicians. Well, what does it mean to be healthy? Well, I mean, that depends on the doctor you're talking to. So you're right. So in this particular situation with the death list and what Pastor Klaus quotes, he quotes James 4:13-15, come now you who say today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. You see, there you have it. There's the Christology of living the life of Christ in this world. And this isn't, as the Bible quotes this, and people use this phrase, but it is from the Bible. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you may die. Well, what is, no. Living the life of Christ in this world is living the life of Christ in this world as one who's baptized into the death and resurrection. It doesn't mean that, well, if I do this, I'm going to live longer. And yeah, we exercise and it's good, but that's the stewardship of the body and the soul. The Lord even talks about training is good. Paul talks about training is good, but godliness is better. So I tell people, this is interesting, Andy. When you take the word "I" out of godliness, what do you get? Godless. So this death list is something we need to bring up to people so that they're, again, this is in the news, this is being talked about, and this is a test. You cannot predict when somebody's going to die. I asked my brother that, and he said, no, I don't know when somebody's going to die. I can tell if organs are shutting down, it may be sometime down the road, but and this is not God up in heaven with the big G on his chest pushing a button, now you're dead. But the main thing is you too be dressed and ready. And in Christ, we have the full armor of God on us so that when we die, we have the sure and certain hope of living with Christ.
That gift that we receive in holy baptism, that white robe.
Yeah, I mean, this is stuff I know you've talked about in more than one situation here in case, and that's the Romans 6. And we would encourage people to go back to Romans 6 and to take a look at that as they live the life of Christ in this world.
And that's why when we have intentions, when we intend to do something, that's why we say, if the Lord wills it, or Lord willing.
Exactly. I mean, this somehow, and I'm going to repeat myself, that I'm not sure where people are getting this idea when the scriptures say the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, that he is the one, you know, that is up in heaven. And yes, he has caused the death of people in the scriptures. There's no doubt about it. But look at what happened, because he is a just God. The rain falls on the godly and the ungodly. So we don't want to take that phrase out of its context. And so, as we know and is taught at both seminaries, context is everything from what we believe, teach, and confess. Mm-hmm. And scripture interprets scripture. So we live the life of Christ as baptized Christians because it's not who we are, it's whose we are, and it's not what we have, it's what we have been given by God in Christ.
It goes back to catechesis. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Yeah, and I think the will of God is where we need to. I mean, Dr. Martin Luther wrote a ton of stuff on this, like the bondage of the will and so forth, and that it is God's will, not my will, be done. And this is something that I think somehow, well, we know it's because our corrupted body and soul, we love to do things on our own. And we can see this with David. We can, yet David repented, and he did not die with a sick spirit, that is to say, against Yahweh, like Saul did. You know, in his rebellious nature. And we live in a world where we see a lot of rebellion going on. I mean, this is nothing new. It's just within a different context. And we see the ravages of sin in our world. And if that doesn't teach us the grace of God, it is to be preached and taught. And I think we forget this, baptize and teach. See? The teaching part, back to catechesis, what are we teaching our children by how we live and by what we say?
Which is why when I leave here at the end of the day, I say, good Lord willing, and the crick don't rise, I'll see you tomorrow, to my coworkers.
There
here.
You go.
Now, there are times when the crick does rise.
It does.
So I suppose then it's perhaps not the Lord's will for me to make it somewhere when the crick rises.
No, you just sit tight, as they say.
Well, we are all out of time for this morning, but look forward to our chat again next week.
Sounds good to me.
Have a great week. God's blessings.
You too.